Ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
With Wisconsin's only School of the Arts, UW-Milwaukee's Peck School of the Arts is the home to hundreds of aspiring artists, actors, and musicians. On this edition of UWM Today, we are showcasing the Classical Guitar Program. It has developed an international reputation for excellence. And our guest is Rene Izquierdo, a professor at UWM who leads the Classical Guitar Program. Rene is a native of Cuba, a country he defected from more than 20 years ago. Here in America, Rene graduated from Yale University, and since coming to UWM, he's performed around the world, and he's built one of the strongest classical guitar programs in the country, right here in Milwaukee, attracting students like Leonella Alejandro, who also joins us for today's program. Welcome, both of you. Great to have you in the studio. And I should tell our listeners, before you even think we're just going to talk about guitar, we're going to hear guitar. Both Rene and Leonella are going to be playing a couple of pieces on today's program. And I think you will be delighted with what you're going to hear. Rene, why classical guitar? Was that the instrument in Cuba that you were brought up with, or how did you first get interested in music to begin with?
That's a good question. My father used to dabble a little bit on guitar. He was a biology major, but he played a little bit of classical guitar. And I actually was, my mother was a ballerina for the Cuban Ballet for many years, so they were artistically inclined already. But my mother didn't want me to be an artist. She knew how hard the life of an artist is and how engaging for your entire life.
But you didn't listen to her.
Fortunately and unfortunately, you know, some ways, you know, some things I think, well, I should have. But my father took me when I was 9 years old in 1984 to a concert on the Havana Guitar Festival, in which the Greek guitarist Kostas Kotsiolis was performing. And I remember being bored, just this guy with a guitar there playing, you know, there's nothing much going on. I was very heavily into sports before, so never really focused on being a musician. And then he played a piece called The Black Decameron by Leo Brouwer. And that was the first time I had goosebumps listening to music. I remember taking all over my body, and I was like a sensation that I never had experienced before. And I told my father right then, I want to be able to do that to other people, you know, through music. And he was, of course, very happy because he was kind of counting with something like this happening. But he was very careful not to, like, force her upon me. He just was, you know, carefully, craftily forming my future, I should say. So he got me a guitar. My mother was against it, so I kind of, like, learned how to play guitar hidden from her a little bit until officially when I was 14 years old, I started, which is for the Cuban standards of the guitar school is late. They start usually when they are 8 to 10 years old. So I started when I was 14 to actually being in the conservatory and learning music. But even back then, it was a hobby. It was never intended to be a career. I liked it. I was good at it. I was still doing classes of the core curriculum.
You never thought you'd be a professor?
Never.
Teaching?
My major at the university when I finished the conservatory. My major at the university was in philology. And it was a situation when I came to the United States in 1995, June 9, 1995 to be exact, Friday. Tuesday already of the following week, I was working in a warehouse, just doing what immigrants do, try to survive, start making a living in a new place. And my career in philology didn't offer much opportunity, but the fact that I could play guitar did. And I met a Cuban Guatemalan composer, Carlos Rafael Rivera, that lived in Miami. And he told me, I'm going to audition to Yale University, Hartford, and Juilliard. Come with me, you know. So I sold my car, hidden from my mother, went to to Yale, met Ben Berger, and tell him, okay, I haven't played guitar really in 2 years. This is my story. And then he told me, grab the guitar, play a little bit. I did. And he said, okay, what does it take for us to help you to bring you here? And that's how my story restarted. And I became officially a professional musician.
And then
an aspiring professional musician. And then everything started rolling after that. And
you began teaching at Yale too, right?
Absolutely. I was, an assistant. We use the graduate studio usually teaches the undergrads, the Yale undergrad. So I was just doing that, just teaching, helping Ben.
But in the last 20 plus years, you have come a long, long way because
yes.
you talk about attending Yale, getting your degree there, but you've not abandoned at any point your appearances, your performances. You continued literally to travel the world.
No, my calling actually has always been teaching. But in order to become a much effective teacher, I need to maintain my performance career as well. Because there are some things, some skills that unless you're performing are very hard to convey for the student. So, and I wanted them to see me working as hard as they are working so I can hold them accountable, you know. So it's a teach by example situation. They see me working really hard besides teaching, traveling around. And I do this because first I meet other musicians. I learn about other cultures, about other ways of teaching our instrument. So I absorb some of that information and then transform it back here to the students. You know, I did that after Yale. I went to the Paris Conservatoire for, you know, artist diploma degree, which I got there. So I learned about French guitar school more in depth and, you know, one thing leads to the next. So I lived in New York and then eventually got the job here in Milwaukee.
How do you like Milwaukee?
I loved it. I love it. I love it. The people are really nice. It's a big change from New York. The food is great. The weather is cold, but I learned to love that too.
Change from Havana.
Yeah, big change. Big change. But you know what? If you dress warmly, it's okay. You know how to dress, it's okay. And more importantly, we have felt very welcome here. I mean, my wife, Elena Chekan, Professor Chekan, she also teaches at UWM. And we felt a lot of support by the community and we want to give back as much as we get from them. So that we are in the business of offering, returning.
Well, I promised a few minutes ago to our listeners that they're going to hear some classical music, some wonderful guitar music. And Renee, you're going to be first up here. We're going to get to Leonella in just a moment. But what piece are we going to listen to first?
I want to play a piece by Eduardo Martin. It's a Cuban guitarist called Mirándote, Looking at You. And I want to dedicate that to my grandma that just passed recently. She was the grandma that raised me when I was growing up in Cuba. And this piece is very simple but very beautiful because it depicts, in the case of the composer, he wrote it when he saw his son for the first time. And it's like looking at all the potential, all the beauty, all the simplicity, and yet all the possibilities that a newborn child have when it comes to the world. So I think it's a very tender piece, and I think you will enjoy it, and our audience will enjoy it.
Let's give it a listen. Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
This was written by a Cuban composer.
That's correct. Eduardo Martin, it's a guitarist, you know, still living composer.
Do you have a lot of memories of Cuba? Do you think often of your upbringing there? And is that one of the reasons you continue to be performing so much of the Cuban music?
That's actually a good question. When I was growing up in Cuba, part of the guitar pedagogy is studying the classics, so Spanish composers, Renaissance, Baroque music, classical, and I never really played a lot of Cuban music when I was there. But just what happens is that when you immigrate, you take something with you that cannot really go back. And I was interested in recording a CD of the standards of classical guitar. And composer Jorge Morel, I remember very vividly, told me, why do you want to do that? Like, there are millions of people that have done that already. What separates you from the rest? And I thought about it, and I thought, like, well, maybe I can offer some Cuban music instead, which is something that I'm very, you know, close to heart and something that people are not very familiar with. And then the first CD I did, actually, I comprised it of music that are hard to find in the Cuban literature. So more obscure music from piano transcribed for guitar. So all of a sudden, I came from not playing almost any Cuban music to being a vital part of my curriculum now and of my performances. So.
And how ironic, because you left that country, I presume,
yes,
because of the political situation.
Well, the political situation is not the country. It's just the government.
Yeah.
It looks the same as we are not Trump, you know.
So the music is what is true to you.
What is true to us, you know, and to the people and to the soul of the people. And the Cuban music is something I can honestly say that I feel more deeply and more connected to. So generally the audience perceive that when you're performing.
Yeah.
And they can feel that connection. So I defected Cuba, but I didn't defect my country. I defected my government, which is a very different thing. And also I did it because of reasons of trying to expand my possibilities of a career, which in Cuba were very limited, what it can offer. But it's okay. That's nor here nor there. So it's just I'm glad to be here in Milwaukee and being able to keep performing and showing my art to the world.
Well, we're glad you're here, and we're also glad that our other guest in the studio today is with us, Leonela Alejandro. And Leonela, you are from Puerto Rico.
I am.
And welcome to Milwaukee. You have an interesting story about how you ended up in this city. It was tied to the hurricane in Puerto Rico.
Right. So I started my studies in the Conservatory of Music of Puerto Rico when I was 16. I was there for 2 years, so I did my freshman and sophomore year there. And then on the first semester of my sophomore year, we were hit by Hurricane Maria. And I think no one really expected it to be as bad as it was, the results. And that's when I lost a lot of time from my classes, from my professor. I wasn't, you know, I lost a lot of time I could have been improving. And I started looking into schools in the U.S. to transfer to, and obviously UWM was, you know, the first option because I would have been able to study with Maestro René Izquierdo, and I'd had the opportunity to study with him in the past in master classes and private lessons, and I knew it would have been really beneficial to me as a guitarist and a performer.
But the storm itself was probably the trigger that got you here to Milwaukee.
Yes, of course. I mean, it was hard to like push forward. I know it's such a common story now. We hear about all these students who had to leave Puerto Rico to find better opportunities in their studies and in work in the U.S. because it was just very difficult to stand up after the hurricane.
Well, you also are going to play a piece for us.
Right.
Let's get to the music. What are you going to be performing?
I'll be playing the first of 24 Caprichos by Italian composer Castelnuovo Tedesco, and this first one is actually a self-portrait. These caprichos are based on paintings by Spanish artist Francisco Goya, and this first one is painting the actual painter.
So a Spanish connection to the music also.
Right, yeah.
Let's give it a listen. Wonderful, wonderful, thank wonderful. What year are you in school?
I am a junior now.
A junior, oh my gosh. Renee, you must be very proud to hear one of your students perform as well as Leonella.
Our program in Leonella is a wonderful addition. Our program is actually doing wonderfully well for how young it is in comparison to many other programs in the U.S. You know, we have been 14 years in existence. It was created in 2004. And right now, I can't sincerely think that we are a major contender to many of the very established institutions like Juilliard, Yale University, or et cetera, UCLA, Bloomington, Indiana. So we have kids that are specifically coming because of the guitar program here to Milwaukee, and Leonella is a wonderful addition of that and a wonderful example of what young talent can do.
Leonella, as you study under your professor, under Renee, what are your dreams or ambitions? Do you want to be like him?
In an ideal
better
world.
Better than me, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, performing is something I enjoy a lot. At home, I would teach kids. I enjoy that a lot, too. I mean, yeah, in a dream world, I get to be like Renee, and I get to play for people and just do what I love most and affect people in the same way that it affects me.
How are you enjoying Milwaukee, by the way?
Well, I mean, I'm getting used to the cold, so it's very warm.
It doesn't get this cold in Puerto Rico.
Oh, absolutely not. But I know I'm getting the best here, so yes. I'm very happy to be here.
And I also want to talk a bit about the guitar that you're playing on. Our listeners don't see it here, although if they go to the website, we're going to have you hold this beautiful guitar. There's a story behind how you received it.
Yeah, so Steve Connor is an American guitar builder, and I had met him last summer at Boston Guitar Fest, and I played his guitars, and I fell in love with his guitars. Just amazing instruments, but they're very expensive, and I was looking for a guitar, but I knew I wouldn't be able to afford it. And after Hurricane Maria, he actually contacted me and another young guitarist, Francis Chiroque, about this project that he had been thinking about building two guitars specifically for Puerto Rican students that were affected by the hurricane, and just like the whole idea of building a guitar while Puerto Rico was being, you know, rebuilt.
Amazing. What a generous, generous gift.
It was hard for me to believe. And then
the reality, it just is in your hands one day.
Yeah.
How does your family feel about you being away?
Oh, well, family is really important in my culture in Puerto Rico. I'm very close to my family. They've always been so supportive about me and my brother studying music. So I think it was hard for me, and it was a little harder for them to see me leave home. But they know I'm here learning and just improving. So I think they're happy about that.
Well, when they listen to this interview and listen to you play, I suspect that they will know that it was a good decision as you continue to prosper. Renee, we just have a little bit of time left as we think about the future of the guitar program. You were just named professor, a full professor at the university. You are at the heart of teaching classical guitar here in Milwaukee. Where do you see the program going in the future?
Well, first I wanted to make it the best program in the world. And I need the support of my, you know, administration, which I have, and the community here to help that grow. We're already attracting great musicians from everywhere, and I want to attract the very best that they find no other alternative but to want to come here. I want to make Milwaukee a destination for classical guitar. And we're trying to look for ways. I'm very hardly pursuing the idea of trying to find some funding for scholarship, because great players, you know, have the choices of going to many other schools. And having decided to come here and to study with me, it means a great deal for me. And also it's a great deal for them if I can help them financially. So we're trying to find an endowment of ways that we can actually offer close to, if not full tuition, but as much as we can, for them to be able to not go too much into debt just because they are following a dream. You know, music is something that is so needed, but it's so little appreciated in the community. I'm not saying the community, but in general, in the in the priorities of what money is being spent and thrown. We definitely need research. We definitely need everything else that is happening in the, our institution at UWM. But we need music probably even more in times like this.
And there are opportunities for the public to listen to your music. You do many performances, or your department and students do, throughout the year.
Yes, we offer every semester. We do at least 4 guest artists from like the highest caliber from around the world to come to perform in Milwaukee. The next concert is going to be on Friday. November 9th. Friday, November 9th is going to be the next performance. With Judy Kyle Perrois, a professor and at San Francisco Conservatory, and a wonderful guitarist. It's a free event. We're making a free event for the public to come. And also we have the student concerts at the end of the semester. Everything is posted at UWM on the Pest School of the Art website that they can actually see.
Just go to uwm.edu. Well, Renee, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Leonella, thank you for joining us today. Our guest on this program today, Renee Izquierdo, who is the professor of classical guitar at UWM, and one of his fine students, Leonella Alejandro from Puerto Rico, but now we're going to call you part of Milwaukee.
Sure.
And as we end the program, Renee, we're going to listen to one more piece that you performed here. What is it going to be as we end up today's program?
Well, I wanted to get a little bit of beat tune. The first one was a little bit on the sad side. So this is going to be a piece called Guajira Mi Madre. It's by a composer, Antonio Rojas, was a civil engineer that knew music by ear. And this piece was taught by oral tradition for many years until finally one of our Cuban pedagogues put it into writing, one of the many versions of the piece. And I hope you enjoy it.
Have a good day, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.